Time Out on the WISL stations is brought to you by Victor Chevrolet and Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
This is nice, as timely as Joanne Brackeen doing one of our favorites this time of year, the Waters of March. And the Waters of March were a little muddy earlier today, I noticed. They're running high.
Some of them were a little crispy, too.
Where was that?
Well, you know, frozen water.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Crispy water.
Crispy. Hope Michael's listening. He likes that. Everything's crispy. Okay, I'm already lost. It's show number 195. My name is Nozzle.
Superstar over here.
And today we're going to be talking with Brandi Shaw, and she her area of expertise is cybersecurity. So you're going to want to focus on this show. She's the owner of Rochester IT and Business Solutions, also known as Rock IT, and they're out of Rochester. But as we'll find out during the interview, they also manage some sites remotely, correct? Brandi, say hello to the listeners. And
hello. I wish I had a cool moniker like you guys do, but I do not.
Brandy's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, Brandi, you're a fine girl.
What a good wife
you would be.
Yeah.
Looking Glass, right?
Yes. Look at you.
Uh-huh. See, I was there.
Yep. 1972.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? 72? Yeah. Were they a one-hit wonder?
No, they had a follow-up hit that was a pretty big hit, which I liked better than Brandi. It's called,
what's that?
Jimmy Loves Marianne.
Now sing us a few bars.
Yeah.
That's right. Sing us a few.
Jimmy Loves Marianne.
We'll have to bring that up on the confuser over there. So anyways, it's going to be an interesting show. Do you want to give out any of your contact information right up front, Brandi?
We sure can. Okay. So we try to be very findable. Our website is www.roc-it.net, Rock IT. And you can also find us pretty much on any social that floats your boat. We're on LinkedIn, and that is LinkedIn/company/Rochester-IT-business-solutions. That's why we go by Rock IT, because that's a mouthful.
A lot of dashes there.
I know. And then on Facebook, we are facebook.com/ROCITSOL.
SOL.
Yeah, I know. It was not my idea.
Let's just get right down to it, because I know I spent a lot of years in system administration, and I probably know enough to be dangerous at this point because I've forgot tons of stuff already. But I have a feeling we're going to get into it, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this because it's an interesting topic. But let's start with this. Where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
So I am originally from Long Island, a town called Port Washington, but that is not nearly as interesting as the fact that it was the inspiration for the Gatsby novel. It was East Egg, where Daisy was from. In fact, there was the house that inspired him existed until maybe 6 years ago. Then, unfortunately, they had to level it.
It's probably a CVS now. But no, I haven't read
Paved Paradise. Yeah. I saw, wasn't Robert Redford in one of those movies in the 70s?
He was, with Mia Farrow as Daisy.
Okay.
And then, of course, Lucky Leo redid the movie.
How far out on Long Island is the town you mentioned?
So it's about 20 miles from New York City, which is about 90 minutes.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Exactly. Cross Bronx Expressway. Yeah. Oh, thanks very much.
Hence the reason we moved to Rochester.
Boy, I'll tell you, I was just down there last weekend. Our son goes to Molloy, and he's graduating. So we went to see his senior project play right there in, what's the name of the town? Senior moment. Anyway, go ahead, Nas.
Well, why don't you give us an overview of your background in IT and computer security? I know you guys from doing home computer repairs. Should we mention the wonderful Keith right now?
We sure can. My partner in all things and soon-to-be husband is Keith Brzezowski. Thank you. It's very exciting. He fought valiantly, but I finally bagged him.
You subdued him somehow, right?
I did.
I thought it was a catch and release program. No?
No. No, no, I got used to him, so he's a fixture now.
Yeah, a real cool guy, musician. You know, I'd recommend giving. Is it the same? You probably contact you and get to him through your phone number, too.
Absolutely. You can actually email us if you need help. You just email support@roc-it.net, and that blasts out to all of us. And then we're happy to give you any help you need.
Awesome. Give us an overview of how you got started in this field.
Oh, it's a kind of a long process, really. I worked in the medical field most of my career, selling medical devices and medical software, most recently for IBM's healthcare division, Watson Health. And there, I worked for about 7 years with hundreds of healthcare clients trying to improve their workflow and their efficiency and make sure they were compliant with the privacy rules like HIPAA and HITECH through technology. And then about a year ago, I made the decision, or rather they made the decision, that I should go out on my own. And with Keith's 30 years of background in tech and my experience with digital transformations, it's called, it just seemed like a natural progression. And we're thrilled. I love my work. The way Mark Twain said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. That is my experience now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So maybe we can circle back and talk about the complexity involved with the healthcare industry and the HIPAA requirements. That sounds like it could be a real rabbit's nest. Is that the right term you use? Rabbit hole?
It is a rabbit hole. It's a can of worms. Any metaphor for complicated that you want to bring up. And that actually is why for the business we target clients that are in that industry or other regulated ones, because I have very deep expertise in HIPAA, and they don't necessarily. And years ago, CMS was not as careful about auditing for HIPAA noncompliance, but that's really changed because of all the hacking that's been going on. So we help our small clients that don't necessarily have huge budgets to be HIPAA compliant to do so, but still be efficient in their work. So it's that's my favorite part.
Smaller doctor's offices, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. So typically it's med spas or behavioral therapists, physical therapists, those that are not automatically covered under the hospital's auspices, but those like independent providers are the ones that we really can jump in and help.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. What do you want to do, Superstar? You want to go to do the tidbit and take a break, or can we ask another question real quick?
Ask another question.
Is it possible to answer? I can ask the question real quick. We'll see how long it takes to answer it. So you alerted me that you're a woman-owned business, and there are challenges and benefits, right? You want to talk about those real quick?
I would love to, and there sure are both. So I'll give a shout-out to Monroe County, where we are actually CITIST. They made it so easy to certify, and they provide a lot of benefits for us. Training, and they have summits, and they've made a real effort towards inclusion in their own hiring of vendors. So shout out to them. The other side of the coin, I will say, though, I've been in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math fields pretty much my whole career. And early on, I will not be providing a year. It was very challenging as a woman to be taken seriously in those fields. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard, well, honey, are you technical? You know, things like that. Hmm. But
is this recently or a long time ago?
1919 or something?
Last week.
Oh my God.
I heard that.
Ouch.
Last week. But, you know, it's a work in progress. We'll all get there eventually. And I've prided myself on being technical. So I kind of like showing it off.
Yeah, very good.
But yeah, so that's the frustration sometimes, but there are benefits too. And yeah. I've noticed that a great deal of our clients are actually women-owned businesses also. And I feel like that might be in part because I run the business, but also we have what we tongue-in-cheek call the no geek talk promise, which is both Keith and I are really great about talking human and not computer for folks that, you know, are human. So we can explain things in ways that are very clear and easily understood. And I think our clients really appreciate that.
Well, it sounds great, Brandy. You're talking to Brandy Shaw, owner of Rochester IT and Business Solutions, also known as Rock IT. So we're going to do a tidbit. And this is Dan Erickson talking about train brand quality, then sell some product and come back and talk some more to Brandy.
Here's the latest timeout tidbit.
Got Dan Erickson in the studio today, and we're talking model trains. There's a surprise. How you doing today, Dan?
Oh, great, great. Nice
good.
Day.
Good to hear it. So let's talk about the difference in quality between different brands of train toys, toy trains. You know, like when I was a kid, I think there was Atlas. Was Atlas a brand that made engines?
Atlas was, and they're still in business. They build a pretty decent quality
train.
Oh, did they?
Yes. What about Bachmann? Was that kind of a cheaper one?
Well, Bachmann has a kind of a mixed history. You know, they were basically a company that was, you know, they make entry-level trains and that. They made some real basic stuff for more price points and to sell at big box stores and that kind of thing that would be a lot of people's first entry into the model train business or train hobby. And then there's, you know, and then you, after you've had them for a while, you kind of move on from the Bachmann to Atlas and Kato and some of the other better manufacturers. Bachmann's really tried to upgrade their stuff, but they still have a bad reputation for things that don't last and problems and trying to get some parts to repair them. They don't support their product as well as other companies do. I might be a little bit harsh on them. They do sell a lot of stuff. They've been in the business a long time, but they're probably on the lower end. The other company was like Lifelike and that. And that's pretty much the history of what model trains have been like. Is a lot of your entry-level stuff is more toy-like toy trains, like Mark's. The big toy company made HO, Lionel. They've dabbled in HO over the years, and they basically built stuff that was entry level for the true modeler.
For the starter set. Put a toy train set under the tree for the kids' first set.
And that's all it is. It's toy like. But the problem that some of these companies like Mark's and Lionel and some of the other ones have dabbled in it. They never fully understood that there's another segment, which is the modeler, who wants scale, they want detail, they want quality, they want smooth-running engines and that. The European companies like Marklin, Fleischmann, Hornby, some of the other ones, they've always seemed to build more to quality and detail in their engines. They're not as sell as much as some of the companies like, you know, Lifelike did or Bachmann and that, but that's not their market. Their market is, yeah, they have entry level equipment, but even their entry level equipment is better than some of the stuff that's sold. It was manufactured in the United States, and they have European market is a little different. They like to build their own buildings from scratch. They like to use their own, make up their own electronics. They're more hands-on. This seems their hobby over there than it is here. This country is a lot of ready to run. That I want to take it home from the show or the hobby shop, put it on the track and use it. And they might not even fully understand if something goes wrong with it, what went wrong with it, because they haven't investigated that part of it. But in Europe, it seems like if there's a problem or there needs to be something done or changed or innovated, they seem to have a better handle for it. And it's just my take on the hobby.
What is Pico? Where's that from?
Pico is from Germany. Okay. I think originally they were an East German company.
Oh, okay.
But they They're still in business. A lot of the European train manufacturers have been merged into larger and larger entities. Like Hornby owns a number of the names, and Marklin is also owns a few of the other companies. I don't know. I'd have to have a list to see who owns who, but like your companies like Lima, Fleischmann, Pico, and some of them are all owned by one of the larger companies.
Have you heard of Minitrix?
Yeah, I've heard of Minitrix.
I had an N-gauge set when I was a kid at home, and I probably had Bachmann engines, and you'd turn the transformer down real low, and the engine would stall. But then I'd use the same transformer, the same track, and I had a nice little Minitrix, or Trix, I forget what it was called, out of Germany. You put that little engine on there, and it would actually keep rolling very slowly with less power from the transformer. So I kind of made the conclusion that whoever makes this Minitrix is a better engine. You know?
Oh, yeah. If you take a lot of your European engines, you take them apart, and they have like all metal gears in them.
And is that what makes a difference?
Yeah, they're all meshed. They're all tuned to run very smooth. The gears mesh very well. And if you take a Bachmann or some of your older Lifelikes or some of your other engines apart, they're all plastic gears. And a lot of times I've taken apart and the gears are cracked or broke and the plastic deteriorated. Where you see in some of your European engines, they're all metal gears. And they just know how to put a motor together and mesh the gears so that they run smooth and with least amount of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan, thanks a lot for coming in today. We'll see you on the next tidbit.
No problem. Thank you.
And once again, thanks, Dan. We'll catch you on the next one. I think I just said that. Is there an echo in here? All right, so we're going to go sell some product, preferably some washing powder, maybe in a big orange box, and come back and talk to Brandy Shaw about cybersecurity. You don't want to miss this one.
It's the WYSL stations, and it's Time Out.
Looking through some photographs I found inside a drawer. I was taken by a photograph of you. There were one or two I know that you would have liked a little more, but they didn't show your spirit quite as true. You were turning round to see behind you, and I took your childish laughter by surprise. And at the moment that my camera happened to find you, there was just a trace of sorrow in your eyes. Now the things that I,
with warmer weather on the way, get ready for either on- or off-road adventures with a new ride from Victor Chevrolet. Now, lease a 2024 Chevy Trax 1 RS front-wheel drive for just $189 a month for 24 months. Get the all-weather safety and capability of a 2024 Chevy Silverado LT Crew Cab for just $359 a month for 36 months. And then, there's the 24 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive LT, only $199 a month for 27 months. $2,500 cash or trade equity at closing. Tier 1 credit approval. Lessee responsible for repairs and maintenance. Must have lease and household for all these lease deals. Conditions apply. Get details at dealer. All factory rebates, incentives, and discounts waived. Whether you drive a Chevy or not, you can always trust your vehicle to our Chevy Certified Service Department. And check out our great used vehicle inventory, too. Come see how easy it is to do business with us. Together, let's drive at Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in Victor.
Visit VictorChevrolet.com.
From Avon Feed and Supply, just in time for wet and winter weather, Dryshod waterproof footwear. There's a big selection of Dryshod for men and women. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, food, and treats. The Avon Feed and Supply frequent flyer program feeds your feathered friends in the cold weather, and for every 10 bags you buy, you get one free. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have. Tim Cole and his great, knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island Cheese, Once Again Nut Butters, East Hill Creamery Products, Monday Mustards, and Rickles Pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main Street, at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
In 1926, the Avon Fire Department put an Aaron's Fox pumper into service. It now sits fully restored in a museum near Toronto. Avon has an opportunity to bring the Fox home for its 100th birthday for a fraction of its appraised value. The Aaron's Fox Full Circle Preservation Society needs your help. Look us up on Facebook or call 615-6463. Let's bring home the Fox.
All Seasons Wine and Spirits, your local and locally owned store, supporting your neighbors and our community. Always save at All Seasons on cases of your favorites. No sales events necessary. All Seasons Wines and Spirits, voted best in Livingston County, 255 Main Street in Avon.
Time Out Radio Show on the WYSL stations.
So we're back talking to Brandy Shaw, owner of Rock IT. Look them up. They're all over social media, Faceplant, YouTube. Is your YouTube channel called Rock IT as well?
The YouTube channel has kind of a weird name. I swear I didn't have a choice. It is at Rochester IT Business Solutions dash QL2YH.
And can I look up, can I type cybersecurity Brandy Shaw and find some of these links on LinkedIn and stuff like that?
Probably. So we have, okay. I have a personal presence and then we have the business presence. And honestly, it gets very, very muddy in the middle.
Sure. So this is going to go by real quick, as I just said. So let's just bounce right along. So the next question, the next bullet is, we're talking about falling prey to clever phishing techniques. That's, you know, in Livonia, you gotta spell this out. It's not phishing. It's phishing. So maybe do a definition on that for us. What is phishing, and how do they, you know, how does that compare with viruses and, you know, mean, nasty, horrible links that you might be asked to follow, and some of the repercussions that, that you might have, you know, from following some of these links?
Sure. So don't ask me why it's called phishing with a PH. That I'm not sure of. But essentially what phishing is any attempt by bad actors or hackers to trick you into providing other information to them that you would not ordinarily. Typically, it's with email, but now texting phishing attempts are getting more and more common as well.
And the reason that is, I was thinking on the way in today, is probably because it works, right?
Yes.
It's not magic. It's arithmetic. The more people they spam with this, these techniques, the more results they're going to get.
Absolutely. And years ago, when this tactic first emerged, they were so obvious. Some sheik from a far off land needs you to cash a check for them, and then they'll pay you $20,000. And actually, those sometimes did work, but they were pretty transparent. That's not the case nowadays. I got a spam email a couple of days ago that I would have fallen for if I weren't in the business. But fortunately, I did not. And just today, a client called us and texted us and hit us up on our website. She was very upset because she had gotten an invitation from a friend. It was that friend's legitimate email address, and it looked like a party invitation. And she clicked on the link, but she was very savvy, and she quickly realized after that first click that, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. So she called the spouse to say, are you really throwing a surprise birthday party for Dawn? And she said, absolutely not. So she was protected, fortunately. But that, I mean, no shame in clicking on links like that, because they're very, very easy to be fooled by. So my advice is always never click a link. If my mother sends me a link, I call her to ask her if she did, literally. And that's really kind of the best way to protect oneself from these things.
Right.
And even if it's your bank, just go to your banking app. Type into your browser, www.yourbankhere.com, and look up what they're telling you. I did also want to share another little public service announcement that I got from my accountant. This time of year, there's IRS tax scams all over the place. So I just want your listeners to know, the IRS contacts you by email, no. Phone, no. Text, no. They will only mail you any requests for additional information. So if you get it reached out to by any other means, it is not true. And if you still want to just double make sure that you're not getting in trouble, again, go to irs.gov and check that way. But never click a link thinking it's from the IRS or anybody else.
I noticed you did bring a bag in from the parking lot, but do you have your crystal ball in there today by any chance? Because I'm going to ask you a question about...
I have been known to have some magic powers, so
okay.
Let's see.
Let's see if you got your Wicca on today. Talk about AI. How is that going to muddy the waters as far as, you know, the complexity of figuring out whether or not you're being spammed or phished or clicking a bad link?
Sure. I'm not an AI expert, to be clear, but AI in this area, actually in many areas of technology, is kind of a double-edged sword in that it does provide a lot of tools for us to use for anti-spam purposes. It's usually that first line of defense in a lot of our tools that as we're monitoring the behaviors of your devices, it's AI doing that. And then if it triggers something that might be an incident, then human eyes go to it. So AI is amazing for that kind of thing. On the other hand, nowadays, there are software as a service code on the dark web that people can actually buy to hack you with. So in the past, in order for hacking to occur, the person had to have some coding skills as well as, you know, other tools at their disposal. But now any moron with a browser that can get to the dark web can download the code and, you know, go on to do their mischief. So AI is both good and bad.
I got a quick question about the dark web. Don't you need a special router to really dig into that?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
Something called the onion router or something, because you have to peel the layers. And
you know what? That might be more a question for my partner than I.
I'm just intrigued.
He's more on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Get him on the line. Right? I mean, why not?
He's
going
to do a phone-a-friend? He's actually minding the store because one of the things about being a managed services provider is there are no days off.
Yeah,
you know, we don't mind that, but we always have to have somebody, you know, sitting by the phones.
So, real quick, who's your target audience? Who would you like to hear hear this interview? Is it mostly homeowners or business owners, or doesn't it matter? Because your answer would kind of tie in with my next question, I guess.
Oh, no pressure. So Keith's original business, which we still have, is more on the residential side. The Rochester IT and Business Solutions, as the name suggests, is more for commercial clients, though that's not to say necessarily big clients. We are a small and mighty team of three. And we love working with other small businesses, especially in the community, that would hesitate to hire an IT person for fear that it's too expensive. We really love to delight our clients to finding out that it is not as expensive as they thought. So small businesses, local, and then I have 25 years in healthcare, so I'm noticing a lot of our clients like to come with us because I have very deep expertise in privacy laws like HIPAA and high tech and meaningful use. So I can help them to be compliant with those in ways that don't disrupt their workflow.
Okay. Well, then, so it sounds like you're targeting smaller businesses, like we kind of started out talking about. So what common mistakes do those enterprises make? What do you typically see them running into?
The biggest one on the hit parade is that they think, I'm not IBM or Xerox. Nobody's going to try to hack me, where that is actually patently false. Something like 82% of all hacking is small businesses, and 46% of small businesses have been hacked. So when I'm doing research, it's often said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I hate to like use that kind of fear tactic, but it's the sad reality of it.
What percentage of it? I see you got a question over there, Superstar. Let me just ask one more. What percentage of the problems could be fixed by educating the employees versus, you know, coding and software? And
like 90%. It's 90% of all cyber attacks are launched through some kind of phishing attempt. And that's why cybersecurity for us is a several layered approach. And one of the biggest ones is awareness. On my YouTube channel, I have a talk about don't click that link, how to be cyber savvy. And I do actually consult oftentimes or do presentations for my clients, little lunch and learns and stuff, just to bring that awareness up so that they're not doing just innocent mistakes.
I mean, you know, we think of paranoia as being a bad word, having a negative connotation. But honestly, if you got a half a brain, if you will, and you're out there on the web today looking at email and you've got a modem at home and, you know, you surf the web, you almost have to be like paranoid about everything.
Just because you're paranoid, right? It doesn't mean they're not after you. So, yeah.
How about the liner there? Oh, that's a well used. Thank you.
That's all right. We'll give it to her.
All right. Yeah, we'll give you that one. That's the rim shot for the show.
And not only that, we'll also give you a cold one.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. All the way to the top.
Music to my ears.
See there?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
She's one of us.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah. Look at the color on that. Oh, that's beautiful. The amber ale. Love it. Costs a little bit more, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So where were we?
I don't know.
You had something?
Actually, you and I had the same question at the same time.
Oh.
So.
Okay. What was I forgot what it was.
I forgot, too.
All right. I'm just going to go right to the safety net, Brandy. Are regular system backups important?
Absolutely. They are your insurance policy against ransomware. Because think about how nice it would be if you have good, reliable backups and they're like, we're holding your data hostage and you have to pay us $10 million in Bitcoin. And you can tell them to stuff it.
Because you've got everything that...
Yes. So again, that's another in that multi-layered approach. Backup and disaster recovery is huge. And you cannot assume, even if you're using a great tool like, say, Microsoft 365 and OneDrive or Google Docs, you can't assume that that's sufficient because if you do get hacked, it sits dormant in your system for a while, waiting to do its mischief. So if you want to have those backups constantly so that you can roll it far enough back to get before this breach occurred. And you also, so another layer is you need to have antivirus constantly scanning your machines so that you know while it's still dormant and
okay,
before it does its damage.
Sure. Here's a question I hope will segue there. Do the well-known I'm looking at the wrong thing. I guess the question I was thinking of, and I can't find it on the paper, is we have antivirus that's freeware. Do those things lack something that the, you know, the more expensive, the big boys and girls, the Nortons and the, those people, does the freeware, because I know Keith advocates using some antivirus that's free, and I've been using it, and it seems to be working.
It depends on the service, and it depends on the use. So okay. For home use, we oftentimes point folks towards Avast, which is free. We don't get any shout out from them, but really good, really reasonably priced. For business purposes, you want something more comprehensive okay. than that, and okay. that's constant monitoring.
Give us an idea of, a picture of, let's say you've got that doctor's office in Brighton, you know, maybe 10 doctors, I don't know, maybe a staff of 15, you know, people processing patients and so forth. So you can sit in your home in Rochester and administer that? Like, do mm-hmm. you can you log into their systems and say, okay, now I can see what's on your desktop and I can go look and see what the problem is?
In a lot of cases, yes. So if it's something with their network, oftentimes we do have to go and troubleshoot it in person. But we always start our relationships with our clients with a walkthrough so we really understand what's working and what's not. And then we put agents on their devices that do monitor in the background and do that anti-spamware.
And then you get an alert if there's a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And we actually also, since we do like to sleep every now and then, we have a special tool that allows us to address alerts at 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with actual human eyes so that nothing slips through the cracks.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in charge of the whole. You want to be in charge of the whole picture. The people using the billing software and those PCs, I guess they are,
mm-hmm.
And the servers in the back room. Or do you want to have people using the cloud? Or
so we'll do what the client's comfortable with. A lot of healthcare clients do hesitate to use the cloud, though.
Why is that?
For fear that. Breaches are more likely, and they can be.
Is that a healthcare type of thing,
yeah.
a mentality?
Okay. So it is a mentality, perfect word, not necessarily a requirement. HIPAA requirements don't state that it has to be an on-premise machine. What they do state is that there has to be two copies of it. So we advocate for our clients. The cloud allows for better hardware infrastructure than you would necessarily have in your office, and it provides that redundancy. But if a client is already on physical servers and there's nothing wrong with them, we would never change them over just because we would need a compelling reason to do that for them. But either way can work fine.
Now, would you get involved in, digital radiography images, or is that a different, you know, that's a different person, that's a different company?
So that's actually what I did for IBM, it's called a PACS system,
yes.
PACS.
Yeah.
And
there's
it
a RIS
is,
too, right?
Yes, RIS is the radiology information system, and then there's LIS, the lab information system. And so what a PACS does is curates all the x-rays and MRIs and CT scans and all that so that they can be read. And providers also use electronic medical record systems. And part of what I do is actually advise them on which ones to pick if they're in the process of purchasing a new one or want to, you know, I can run that project for them from RFP all the way to selection.
So if you're going with, say, Philips or Carestream, they don't provide their own antivirus. You have to kind of work with them?
So they can be deployed in a number of ways. The EMR is typically what's called a SaaS or software as a service. So it resides on Carestreams or ModMeds or whomever's servers, and you just access it. When it comes to PACS systems, they can be deployed either way.
Okay.
But typically, they are in a hospital setting. They're almost always on premise.
Okay, very good. I think we're running out of string here, Brandy. So why don't we jump to your...
Yeah, like three and a half.
Okay, well, I don't know. You've got your story, which sounds interesting.
Don't want to miss that.
Don't want to miss that. So tell us something we don't know. I mean, I'm a Cracker Jack guy here because I worked, you know, a lot of years, so I think I know what I'm talking about. But maybe I don't. What don't I know about cybersecurity in 2024?
Oh, that's a good one. Anything you thought you knew has changed, is changing, or will change, which is what I love about our business. So I think what I want people to know about cybersecurity now is, again, it has a lot of layers to it. So it really benefits one to have an expert. I know a couple. But even if it isn't ourselves, it's a big topic, and it's constant study to keep up on it. So I would recommend that people consult a professional on those kind of things. You wouldn't do your own brain surgery, so don't try to do this alone either.
Yeah, like I've heard you say before, you know, you go to a doctor for your health problems.
Yeah, and I want to have a doctor, you know, and I want to have a dentist, and I want to have a lawyer, and I want to have a car guy. You
professional.
Know,
I go to, yeah, very good. Brandy, why don't you give us that that unusual or stimulating story that came to mind for us? It sounded funny.
All right. But yeah. You promised that this was okay. It's a little bit
racy.
A little bit racy.
We like racy.
Yes.
Mom and Dad, kick the kids out of the room until this is over.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that. Because I have a daughter. I know how to talk a little bit above their radar. And don't whisper, because that's when they always start to listen.
That's when the antenna comes out.
So the funniest story we've ever had was a client called frantic because he had received some emails stating that the person sending the emails had accessed his camera on his laptop and had recorded him enjoying some adult content, we'll say, and that they were going to be charging him a ransom, or they were going to send this to everybody in his contact list because they had that also. So apparently this person did enjoy some adult content, so that this resonated with him, but Keith had to, with a very professional voice and a very straight face, assure him that it was a phishing attempt and that there was no way for them to have actually done that on his particular machine, and that he was perfectly fine.
Guilty conscience.
Yeah, perhaps.
Something like that. Dirty conscience.
So put tape over your cameras if you're going to be enjoying stuff like that.
Yes, there you go. Anthony Weiner, we're looking at you.
Anthony
Weiner.
Oh,
I'm not looking at Anthony Weiner. Thank you.
Or who's the guy, the ABC guy? Oh, boy. Anyway, never mind.
Another senior moment. You're racking them up today. Beautiful. That's two for two. How many can we get them? No, okay. How are we doing on time?
Let's go to break.
Why don't we go to break?
All righty. We'll do that. Tell us about the song.
Oh, yeah. This is Kraftwerk. We chose this specially for our guest today. This is called Computer Love.
Sprung at the all-new Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at 6484 Route 96 in Victor, where the selection and savings are better than ever. For example, lease a 2024 Grand Cherokee 4XE in Midnight Sky, just $359 a month for 36 months.
A 23 Chrysler Pacifica minivan in Phantom Blue Pearl Coat is only $399 a month for 39 months. A 24 Jeep Compass Limited SUV is only $189 a month for 27 months. And a Jeep Wrangler Willys 4XE in bright white clear coat is only $259 a month for 36 months. $2,000 cash or trade. Other three leases require $2,500. Must have lease loyalty. First payment, DMV, taxes and fees due at signing. Other conditions may apply. See dealer for details. We welcome Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram customers in Victor, Canandaigua, Macedon, Fairport, and Finger Lakes. Shop Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram now at 6484 Route 96. Just east of Victor.
Debunking advertising from the law office of Christopher Johnson. One ad some injury attorneys inundate you with, what's your case worth? Call us and find out. You know, nobody can tell you, quote, what your case is worth over the phone. Nobody knows. The ultimate answer to, quote, what your case is worth involves weeks or months of research, evaluation, and preparation. Many factors go into any compensation you might get, like applicable law, who's actually at fault, how much insurance coverage there is, and many, many other factors. At the law office of Christopher Johnson, the singular focus is getting your life back on track after an accident or injury. That takes money, and it helps when the advice and legal advice you get has a one-on-one focus informed by straight talk. Christopher Johnson Attorney, car, truck, motorcycle accidents, personal injury, and DWI defense. Call 585-415-3803. 585-415-3803.
Tom Walls team member, Emily.
We don't want you to stop in for a Tom Walls haddock dinner. We want you to stop in every week for a haddock dinner and bring your family. We like hearing your family laughing and enjoying themselves. They bring joy to our restaurant. Crispy golden haddock, hot crispy fries, and just made coleslaw. That's what we bring to the table. Now you make it a family tradition. Tom Walls. Good, good.
Share the good times. Tom Walls.
Hey, if you like history and you like airplanes, the National Warplane Museum in Geneseo, New York is the place to go. Tours, exhibits, events, vintage aircraft, and more. Visit nationalwarplanemuseum.com for more details.
All Seasons Wine and Spirits. Why go to the big liquor superstores in Rochester when you can save and park right next to the front door at All Seasons? They'll carry your discount case purchases to your car with a smile. Voted best in Livingston County. All Seasons Wine and Spirits, 255 Main Street in Avon.
Time Out Radio Show on the WYSL stations.
It's some copyright-free music I found out on the Tube of You. And what's the name of this superstar? I can't see my thing. What is it?
What is this? This is...
Track Tribe.
Yeah, Track Tribe by Last Train North.
Yeah, Track Tribe is the group. Last Train North is the song. It's kind of jivey. I like it. So, Brandy, why don't you give us your contact information once more? Because cybersecurity is something we all need to pay very close attention to and don't want any of our listeners to say, who was that? So give your name and your contact info.
Definitely. So if you want to do a little snooping and self-study, you can visit us at www.roc-it.net. So that's rockit.net. If you want to ask us some questions, you can get us at info@roc-it.net. Or you can stalk us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube.
Beautiful. What time you got over there, superstar?
It's another WYSL Timeout Compare-O-Scope.
And that's a side-by-side comparison of an original or early song recording and a popular cover of the same song. Today we're featuring Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. So the writers of that song were The Police, and they were an English rock band formed in London in 1977. Within a few months of their first gig, the lineup settled as Sting with lead vocals, bass guitar, primary songwriter Andy Summers on guitar, and Stuart Copeland on the drums. Three guys that made a lot of noise, kind of like what Grand Funk was one of those, Cream, right? And that lineup remained unchanged for the rest of the band's history. So let's listen to The Police's original 1981 version of Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the comparison today is Shawn Colvin. This is from 1994, and she was born Shauna Lee Colvin on January 10th, 1956. And she's an American singer, songwriter, and musician. While Colvin has been a solo recording artist for decades, she's best known for her 1997 Grammy Award-winning song, Sonny Came Home. Well, whatever. So Cover Girl is her third full-length album, and it was released in 1994 on Columbia. And the reason they call her Cover Girl is she's doing covers. And guess what song she's going to be covering today? It's Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Let's listen to it. Okay, a good one today. So we turn to our guest, Brandi Shaw, and we ask you, which version of that song do you prefer or maybe not? And give us some insight as to why.
So I remember where I was the first time I heard Sting sing that song. I wore out that album. And so I gotta give the boy props. Though Sean did a beautiful job, not my jam.
Okay, superstar.
I'm going with Shawn Colvin. First of all, I like her, and I think that the arrangement was superb. It was just great. And quite frankly, I'm just not a. I've never warmed up to Sting and Police. I found him precious.
Okay. I think his best album was 10 Sumner Tales. That was a killer album. That was like from 1994, maybe, that period. I liked that a lot.
That album did have a big death toll. You're right.
It had a big what?
He says killer album.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. Oh, geez. He's coming at me, folks. So I'm gonna give it to Shawn Colvin. I liked some of the little vocal things she did there. It was kind of fun, and I liked the arrangement.
Great little turns that she... there.
Of course, you know, the Police, you got to give them credit for penning the song. But, okay, so that's one for the Police and two for Shawn Colvin. Thanks for listening, folks. This is a new outro. I'm going to be quiet. This is cool. It's
Asia.
And the drummer is from Rochester, Steve Gadd.
Yeah, there you go.
Join us next week. We'll be back.
Time Out on the WYSL stations is brought to you by Victor Chevrolet and Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.